Hello, you are listening to the Nintendo Switch UK podcast.
Hello and welcome to episode 151 of the Nintendo Switch UK podcast. I'm Mike.
I'm Al.
And I'm Anton. And it's great to be back. Thank you very much for listening. Thank you to all that have given wonderful reviews. How are we all doing?
Yeah, well, it's felt like a short week, but that's because Anton and I recorded an extra prequel episode for our Patreons just the other day, which I've still to put out to our Patreons. But that feels like just yesterday, Anton.
Indeed, yeah, and it's kind of been a bit of a quick week, both for news and I think just personally. It's quite fun to be back.
Well, let's talk about what we've been playing. Al, have you been playing anything this week?
I have, yes. I've been carrying on playing my GTA 3 game. I got kind of annoyed at it. I don't think it's need to worry about giving spoilers. It's a very old game. I got to the end of a set of missions, I'll say that, in the first island. And then during it, you go to a payphone, you get sort of three or four missions, which are basically racing around an island, picking stuff up, or actually racing around an island. I'd completed them. I then did this end-of-story mission, and for some reason a glitch has appeared where those three racing ones have all come back again. They've just rematerialized. So I went into it. But now, because I've done bits of the story, when you go around certain areas of the city, you get shot up and you literally can't drive your car for more than about 10 seconds without exploding because people are firing shotguns at you. And I got stuck, and it took me forever to work out that I could just fail the mission and then say, I don't want to retry. Because if I get arrested or if I end up in the hospital, you lose all your guns. I don't want to do that. So I basically just need to find a way of failing the mission but not getting shot. So I've eventually done that. I'm going to carry on the story again. But that has just really bugged me. So other than that, I have played a bit of Mario Kart. But we'll get into that later in the episode.
Yeah, absolutely. Anton, what about yourself?
Yes, like Alistair, I have been doing a little bit of Mario Kart. Never thought the day would happen, but I'm back. It's been fun, and we'll dive into it with a deeper dive later in the episode.
Yeah, well, funnily enough, I haven't yet played the new tracks, but I have watched several videos of people playing them. But
are you 12? But I've not played the game. I've been watching people online playing it, and it's really good.
No, I just have two children. That's literally it.
Did you like my impression of a 12-year-old?
I'm not sure. I mean, I'm not sure if that.
I don't think that's what I sounded like when I was 12. I mean, I'm really sure that's quite offensive to 12-year-olds. I'm very sorry.
Yeah, I think all our 12-year-old listeners have just switched off, Al. But I did upgrade though to the expansion pack for Nintendo Switch Online, and so I did have a quick peruse in some of the Mega Drive and the N64 games, and that was kind of fun, but I haven't had an awful lot of playing time this week. So I did watch some sort of first impressions of the Mario Kart courses, the new tracks, but we'll talk about that a bit later on. So apart from that, I haven't really played an awful lot this week. It's been a bit of a quiet week for me in terms of gaming, but that said, there is plenty to talk about, so let's move on and talk about this week's news.
Tell us, the people want to know.
All right, so first up, from Bitworks, they've announced Slipstream for the Nintendo Switch. It's a drifting-focused arcade racer. It's coming out on the 7th of April. I love the kind of style of this and the vibe of this because it's very sort of retro. It reminds me of a lot of the kind of early 90s sort of 16-bit era games. Al, what's your take on it?
Yeah, it's kind of cool, isn't it? It's got very recognisably 90s iconic cars that are definitely not, for copyright reasons, actually 90s iconic cars, which is quite good fun. But it's really pretty. I mean, it's pixel art. It's using proper, you know, pixel scaling, old-fashioned technology, but on a modern platform, and I do quite like that. But the thing I like most is the fact that it's got quite a lot of customization in there. You could slow the game down by like 50% to make it accessible for people who are rubbish at games, like you and me. So that makes me quite happy. And there's a couple of filters as well. You can change the way the game looks. So although it's this sort of pixel art style, you can put on, I think there's an NTSC filter on there. There's a CRT type filter to make it look old fashioned. It's just kind of neat and cool. They've chucked in a couple of little flourishes. Plus, it's got a four-player split screen, which I kind of miss getting a four-player split screen. Other than Mario Kart, I can't really think of anything else I can play four-player split screen racing on the Switch. I'm sure they're out there, but Mario Kart's the go-to. This could be the new one.
Yeah, this was quite a nice looking title. What I particularly enjoyed about the content that I've seen so far is it really has a great sense of speed. Not only is it just things are coming fast at you, but when you take a corner tight, the camera shunts over a little, just tilts a little, and you know, it's just got a very nice visceral sensation to it, despite basically being the Super Adrenaline 2022 version of OutRun. And, you know, admittedly that's a good package right there. Combining that with the kind of evolutions that they've done on top of it, it looks real fun.
Yeah, and it's only $7.99 as well, which is a really cheap price for a launch. And I think there's a lot of content there for that price too. So it comes out on the 7th of April. Definitely worth checking out if you're a fan of retro-looking racers. Next up, Mega Cat Studios and Skybound Games have announced WrestleQuest for the Nintendo Switch. It's a pixelated RPG. I know you're thinking, why is it an RPG if it's about wrestling? Well, it is. It's coming out in the summer, and it's a little bit different. It combines the wrestling world, and it looks a bit like sort of a Royal Rumble with an RPG. And it's got lots of characters that, again, for legal reasons, are not famous wrestlers from the 80s and 90s that just might happen to look a bit like them all.
I know. I mean, this is basically Golf Story for sort of WWFE, whatever you want to call it, depending on which era you're picking. It's basically that, isn't it? It's an RPG that just is, by the look of it, very, very tongue-in-cheek, taking a whole lot of 80s and 90s nostalgia, particularly from the wrestling world, bunging it together into this hideous and wonderful mashup. And what could possibly go wrong? Actually, I genuinely don't think anything. Looking at the trailer, it does look brilliant. What do you think, Anton?
Yeah, I think it looks like an exceptionally well put together title. It pays homage not only to kind of 90s RPGs, not only to wrestling, but to like 80s and 90s wrestling games. It has that DNA intact. It isn't just they've made a pixelated wrestling RPG. They've made like a pixelated 1980s wrestling game RPG. It looks very faithfully well done and just seems charming. And yeah, it's clearly done by people that love what they're doing.
Yeah, it looks really, really cool and definitely worth looking out for that one. It is coming at some point in the summer, we think. And next up, Atypical Games have announced Sky Gamblers Air Supremacy 2 for the Nintendo Switch. You can battle for air supremacy. It's coming out on the 24th of March, so just a few days as we record. This one will be out. I find these games really difficult. Generally, any sort of air fighting games, I've always struggled with them. But I think this one certainly looks reasonably detailed, Anton.
Yeah, I believe this is based on a mobile game, so I was initially quite skeptical going into the, you know, check it out and learn more about it. But overall, as a package, it looks fairly shiny. It looks very, you know, visceral, to use phrasing from earlier in the podcast. It looks like a well put together game. I'm just hoping that, you know, the game progression has been adapted well to having a fixed price on Nintendo Switch, because they are asking a decent amount. I believe it's about like £26-28. So they're asking a lot for what has been born off of mobile, but it looks fairly solid outside of that. It's slightly Ace Combat-esque.
Just to correct you on the price there, it's looking like it's going to be $17.99 on launch.
Okay, that's a lot better.
Yeah, I mean, okay, just because it's got mobile DNA in it doesn't necessarily mean it's bad. I mean, we've said this before. We tend to automatically go, oh, mobile, and then we think about it, and then we go, you know what, actually, it's a really good game. And I mean, mobile platforms have come so far. They're proper gaming behemoths. These machines are capable of some really crazy power these days. So mobile really shouldn't mean bad if it's a good game that's not been coded, just pick up, put down in 2 seconds and grab a load of adware into it, then mobile is a perfectly valid platform. This game, however, amazingly does actually look like quite a good one. I was about to say it's going to be rubbish, but no, actually, it looks pretty good. The graphics on it are quite attractive. As Mike says, I am rubbish at these things because I can deal with going left and right. I can go backwards and forwards. Going up and down just confuses my brain. Trying to find things in 3D is virtually impossible for me. But if you're the kind of person that enjoys these games, then it does look like this might well be a competent contender in that area. Plus, it adds in all the usual stuff. You know, there's solo campaign, there's 7v7 online dogfighting. It's kind of cool. Lots of fighting in very attractive locations. So when you see the trailer, you know, they're fighting over cities and all kinds of stuff, which maybe at this particular moment you might not be wanting to release, but that's a whole other avenue that I don't think we should necessarily go down right now. But no, it does. It looks like a very competent game.
Yeah, well, it is coming out in a few days' time, so it might be one to either wait for some reviews or maybe look out for a sale unless you're absolutely sure on it. But I think certainly I agree. I think visually it looks pretty good. I just don't think I would be any good at it, to be honest. This next one, though, this is one that I'm very interested about and wanted to talk to you about. So Warner Brothers have announced Hogwarts Legacy, and they've announced it's coming to the Nintendo Switch. It's an open-world action RPG. If you watched Sony's State of Play, you'll have seen some of the footage from it as well, some of the gameplay. It's coming out in 2022. Initially, I thought, when I saw this, I thought, oh, that'll be a cloud version. However, a physical version has been seen for sale on several websites. So it begs the question, are we getting Hogwarts Legacy Lite? Are we going to get another Witcher 3 witchcraft type game, or an Alien Isolation witchcraft kind of game? Or are we going to get a poor version of it, Al? What's the answer?
If this comes out in anything other than a cloud version, I will literally eat my NSUKP beanie. Looking at this, the game is beautiful. Okay, so don't get me wrong. The trailer starts off in Hogwarts. You go through your Hogwarts journey and you think, oh yeah, it looks fine. And then all of a sudden it goes, and by the way, this is just the beginning. And it launches into the whole, this is an open world game. And your mind is blown. It is a brilliant trailer. They've done it so, so well. And the game looks absolutely gorgeous on 4K, PS5. It just looks stunning. But when you look at it and you think, I can't see how you can make that run in any meaningful way on the Switch. So the only way I can see us getting this is it's going to have to be a cloud version. Just because we've got a physical box for it doesn't mean it's not going to be a cloud version. We've come across this before. When you get a box and you get a download code, why can't you get a box and a cloud streaming game? It's literally no different. I will be really angry if that's what they do, but it wouldn't surprise me. What do you think, Anton?
Yeah, I share the sentiments. I've never seen a Harry Potter, so I'm not very familiar with the IP. However, looking at this new game from Warner Bros. And Avalanche, it looks stunning. It looks gorgeous. It looks like the cutting edge of the PS5 and the Xbox Series X. So the fact it's both got a last-gen version, never mind a Switch version, is astounding. And I'm, you know, very impressed by what they put together here, both in gameplays and on visual caliber. I really find it hard to believe they could get it running on Switch. I want it to. I think if so, this will be the most impressive port. Even if they get it running, it doesn't even need to run very well. If they got it on Switch at all, I would be incredibly impressed. Could it be the next game to kind of push it? You know, whenever you get a streaming game, you know, you download like a couple, you know, what, like 50 to 100 megs to get like the streaming software. Could they put that on a cartridge? I'm not too sure. Yeah, it's madness. I would love to see them do it. That would be wizardry within of itself.
Yeah, wizardry, very appropriately for that particular game. I generally tend to agree, although it's such a strange one. I just didn't expect it when I'd seen the game, and it's a game that I think will do really well. But I really hope if they do bring it to the Nintendo Switch, which they say they are, that it's done properly. But I have this feeling it's going to be a cloud version, which, you know, it is what it is, I guess. And next up, 34 Big Things have a new gameplay trailer for Redout 2. Redout 2 is a sort of tribute to classic arcade racing games. It's got that kind of Wipeout kind of feel to it, Al, doesn't it?
It really does, and I'm pretty sure it's unashamedly and unabashedly basically Wipeout. It says it's the best as an anti-gravity racer out there. For sure, it probably is. I mean, we haven't really got enough of these, and it looks cool. I started getting a bit grumpy watching the trailer because it was all cinematic until eventually about halfway through it was like, oh no, here's some actual racing footage. And that satiated my anger, and I was a very happy man. It's fast, it's furious, it's frantic. It does exactly what it says in the tin, and it looks kind of darn pretty. Are you excited about this one, Anton?
I am, yeah. I'm very impressed by it because in the same way the Sonic the Hedgehog games, the 3D ones, have the challenge of just constantly streaming in these assets, making a game that is this fast is not easy because it needs to be, one, having these massive, huge tracks that, you know, look just as good slow as it does fast. But you have to be able to make these massive tracks so you can have, like, a reasonably long race. And that's impressive within and of itself. I like that, you know, between this, Fast Racing Neo, Fast Racing RMX and the Wipeout games, there's constantly like a benchmark to see how fast you can make one of these space racers, and this one's definitely pushing it.
Yeah, it's I think this one could do quite well. It looks good. It looks fast and furious. I think we had one, was it RMX race or something like that that we had?
Yeah, earlier. Fast RMX.
Yeah, that one kind of got that kind of vibe. But this one could do quite well. So looking forward to seeing how it does do. The 3DS and the Wii U eShop, by the way, are having a fire sale because they're going to be closing at the end of March, so not long to go. So publishers like Capcom and Shinen practically giving away their games, which is good. If you're sort of trying to fill things up on your old consoles, then that could be quite a good time to do it, Al.
Absolutely. It makes sense. I mean, if that store is coming to an end, they will never make any more money from it again. They may as well just reduce slash the price, frankly, to get any sales they can in before that platform basically gets killed for good, which, I mean, we've talked about this before. It's kind of a shame and it's sad when these platforms do kind of get killed by Nintendo, but at the same time, from a business point of view, it doesn't make sense to keep them going. They've got to pay to support it. They've got all the issues that go along with licensing, yada, yada, yada. It's a pain for them, so naturally they're going to kill it. So you may as well use the opportunity to go and grab as many games as you possibly can and hope that they stick around, that you don't accidentally break your console, because once your console's broke, they is gone.
Yeah, although I couldn't see myself picking up games this late into a console life cycle digitally, it is nice that these games are getting a kind of final leash in life, especially for Shinen. A lot of their games will be lost, like the first Fast Racing game will be lost to the Wii U. So, you know, find a way to get people to get them, and, you know, for some gamers, this might just be like a nice little wee time to, you know, try out some new games.
We've got some new games on the Sega Mega Drive Nintendo Switch Online service. We've had Alien Soldier, Super Fantasy Zone, and Light Crusader added. I did actually play a bit of Super Fantasy Zone the other day because I was on there having a look, and I played for about 5 minutes or so and remembered how difficult it was in the first place, the game, which is quite what happens generally when I play most 16-bit games. But it's pretty faithful. It's a great way to play it. We were talking about this actually in our episode of the prequel the other day, where often it's one of the best ways to play those games, because you've got the rewind functions, because you've got the save states, because you've got all that extra stuff that just kind of give it quality of life. It's a good way to play it, and they look pretty good, and they look very much like they did originally, and it's a good welcome addition, Al.
Yeah, I mean, you guys obviously had a lot more love for Sega than I did. I never had one, as I think everybody probably knows by now. But I have to say, I was really impressed with the look of Light Crusader. I mean, for the time, that was going by what's in the trailer anyway, a technically impressive game. It was kind of a 2D, 3D thing, running around, jumping across 3D platforms in sort of an isometric. It was just mind-blowing watching that. However, it did also look really hard to play because of it. I don't know, have either of you guys played Light Crusader yet?
Not yet, but definitely. And, you know, evidence is in the proofing, Al. You know, Sega does what Nintendo don't. and, you know, I do find it hilarious. When I saw this, I was just like, if I had been told, not even like 30 years ago, but like 10 years ago, that Nintendo would be trying to sell their premier service off the back of Alien Soldier, I wouldn't believe you. And here we are.
Yeah, it's cool that we've got these titles kind of in a way that's accessible and easy to play, because we've seen it over the years. They've appeared, some of these games have appeared before in different things, and some of them have been lost to time, and you've had to get the originals. And I think it's just great to have these games accessible in one place that you can actually get to fairly easily. And I think we kind of forget about the Mega Drive games sometimes because there's so much emphasis on the N64 ones. But yeah, Light Crusader does look good. It's got that kind of, it's almost got that 80s isometric feel to it, but it's done in a very sort of, you know, the colours are good, and it's it looks kind of ahead of it. It looks kind of almost PC-ish in its presentation, actually. It's quite interesting. So I might give that one a go. And Triangle Strategy, that has sold 800,000 copies in 2 weeks, which is quite a lot. I know that you played the demo and weren't too sure, Al, but 800,000, that's not... Well, I don't know what they're aiming for. They could have been aiming for 10 million, but it seems like a reasonable amount.
Yeah, to me that sounds like a pretty good starter for 10. I mean, they've been out for, it was 2 weeks. 800,000 is pretty good in 2 weeks. I mean, we get excited when a game hits a million. That's nearly brushing a million already for a game that, I don't know about you guys, but I've not heard that many people being too excited about it. I've not heard many people going, oh, I can't wait, I've gone out and bought it. So it's clearly doing very well somewhere in some markets. Maybe we're just not dialed into it. I mean, have you come across people who are massively intrigued by this one, Anton?
No, it hasn't really been one that I've seen a lot of people jumping out for, but my God, for Square Enix making a game that's, you know, using a nice shiny engine that they've developed and then putting in some new sprites from going ahead and doing Octopath Traveler, this must be an incredible return on investment for them. So as they've already alluded to, and we're starting to see with their upcoming Alive Alive remake, we're going to be seeing a lot more of these 2D HD remakes.
Yeah. Absolutely. I think it's not really a surprise that they will do more, because it's obviously doing quite well for them. And it's 800,000 is not to be sniffed at.
It's not. I mean, Octopath Traveler, they've sold 2.5 million. So 2.5 million for Octopath Traveler, and that's been out for how many years now? So 800,000 is quite impressive.
Yeah, and that doesn't even have Triangle Strategy doesn't have the added benefit of having like a successful mobile game to go alongside it.
Next up, Chucklefish have returned Stardew Valley's publishing to its original creator, Concerned Ape. I'm assuming, Anton, that this is just because the publishing rights expired at this time.
Yeah, kind of a mix of things. The Concerned Ape kind of had some queries with Chucklefish concerning some of their other publishing duties. But yeah, basically, now that Stardew's winding down, Concerned Ape can just take over and let the game churn over and just gradually put some money in their pocket. And it, you know, was quite a charming and acclimable display of, yeah, professionalism between the two parties, it seems like.
Yeah, I mean, there was a little bit of tension is maybe not the right word, but there were issues, shall we say, and they, I think, have been dealt with very professionally and handled in a very above the board kind of a way. Everything's been handed back. They've been very praising of each other. That feels like bad wording of the English language, but you know what I mean. And yeah, it's all been handed back, which is kind of cool. And I mean, Concerned Ape has already stated, we talked about this earlier in the year, that the IP isn't necessarily dead. There's no more upgrades or updates planned for it, but he's not written them out. He's just focusing on his Chocolatier Ghost game at the moment, which is exciting in itself.
Yeah, that's the thing. It's not necessarily going to... We're not going to see... And it's, we've had so much content from it anyway, that, and there's still so much there to play, that actually it's one of the games that's given us lots over the years as well. All right, let's move on to our new feature, which is called Turbo Mode, which I really will at some point, but not today, record a sort of jingle for at some point. We'll have to get Al to sing it or something, or maybe it's Anton's turn to do some singing, but it is time officially for Turbo Mode.
Yes.
Okay, so Hori have announced a Sonic version of their popular wireless Hori pad for Nintendo Switch. By the way it works is I run through a few stories and then Al and Anton will give us some sort of synopsis on them. EA Play Live 2022 has been cancelled. Mario Kart 8 Deluxe Booster Course Wave 1 has launched with 2 cups and 8 courses. I suspect we might mention that. One of 20 Snap Magikarp Pokemon cards has sold for $136,000. Miles Tails Prowler from the Sonic the Hedgehog franchise looks likely to become a VTuber. And Super Nintendo World is 1 year old. Al.
Ever thought modern video games should be more interesting? At The Gaming Blender, we take randomised genres, mechanics, and make a new game every episode.
I've added permadeath.
We have a survival game of a hardcore simulation, which could be House Flipper, and with the permadeath of XCOM, then that all has to be an action adventure.
Yes.
Ooh, dear.
Yes.
And sometimes it doesn't quite work.
And you have a construction off over the course of the narrative.
A construction off? The way we can do this is that we ditch your idea entirely.
Entirely.
Check out The Gaming Blender on all your favourite podcast platforms now.
Where do we start? There's quite a lot I actually want to talk about in this one. I'm going to leave my thoughts on Mario Kart until after you guys have talked about it. The Hori pad is kind of cool. It's very in your face. I mean, it is a very blue and white controller. It's basically got Sonic on the right-hand side of it. It's got blue and red buttons. It is vibrant. And it's kind of cool. If you're into that kind of thing, I think it's quite a nice release. The Pokemon card, the Magikarp card, is quite an interesting story. So, I don't know, it was back in the 90s. There was a competition that went along with Pokemon Snap in Japan where gamers, they had to submit their snaps from Pokemon, and the winners of the best photograph were given 20 bespoke Pokemon cards of their photograph, and that's it. It wasn't that they got sort of everyone else's cards, they just got their own card of their picture, and these things have just disappeared off into, well, who knows where. I mean, some of them might just be sealed, chucked in a box and left. I think we've seen 9 of them, I think is what I read, over the course of years. So this Magikarp one poking up is sort of, it's a big event. So selling for $136,000 is, it's a lot of money, but actually I'm kind of surprised it didn't go for more considering how rare these things are. So yeah, I think that's kind of cool. I am going to stop talking. I'm going to ask Anton what he thinks, and then I'll double back once you guys are talking Mario Kart, because I have thoughts.
Yeah, similarly, we can double back to Mario Kart. It is amazing. Could you imagine going through little Timmy's forgotten Pokemon cards who's went off to college and finding like $130,000 lying underneath their bed? That would be a charming day. I am so glad EA Play Live 2022 is cancelled. Their last couple shows have been really, really dry. There is always something quite interesting. However, they do spend like 20 minutes just talking about the newest entry in each of the different sports franchises. So I think this year, them spreading out their announcements, announcing them when they're ready, you know, showing off something at, you know, maybe Xbox or PlayStation or even Nintendo, that would be the way to go for them, because overall, they just don't quite have the quantity of games to really warrant their own show. And yeah, Mario Kart as well will speak. How about yourself, Mike?
Well, let's talk about Mario Kart then, because I haven't played it, but I have watched quite a lot of the footage and some sort of analysis on various parts of it. And I suspect one of the things that you both might bring up is aesthetically that it looks different to the other courses. And you might not. Certainly the grass has become a big issue for a lot of people, because the grass is very different to the original skin they used on the original Mario Kart that we had on the Wii U and Mario Kart 8 that we have now. But I wondered if that was because it was easier to just move it across, whether it was a problem with having to change things. But apparently, after watching quite a lot of analysis on it, it appears that it would have been just as easy, if not easier, to have used the art and the grass from Mario Kart 8 on it, and it's just a sort of drag and drop thing. So it seems like they've deliberately decided to stick with this kind of slightly different art style. So that's the interesting part for me. I quite like it. I think it's quite fun, and I don't have an issue with it. And we might see changes because, you know, it wouldn't be that difficult for them to update it, I guess, considering it's. You know, download code for everybody. So it's interesting in terms of the courses. They look fun, I kind of just wish we could get more quickly. But Al, tell us, because you've played them, what's your thoughts?
Well, I have played them, and I mean, I'm very happy, to be honest. So as everyone knows, I've been playing Mario Kart Tour for the better part of, well, actually more than 2 years now. All bar one of these courses has been in Mario Kart Tour. In fact, a couple of them are actually directly from Mario Kart Tour, and therein lies, I suspect, where the grass controversies come from, because I suspect they've just taken the models they made for that and then upscaled them effectively and just carried over everything that was from the mobile version, dumped it in, then added a few extra details, make it look crisper. They are basically the courses that we've had on the mobile for quite a while, but with a lot more detail. They're a lot crisper, they're beautiful, and I really like what they've done with some of them. So for anyone that hasn't played Mario Kart Tour, you get a circuit like, for example, Tokyo, which is one of the ones in here. And the way that works is each individual race will have sort of a Tokyo version 1, Tokyo version 2, Tokyo version 3, Tokyo Remix, or whatever you can call them. So you're kind of racing on the same kind of track, but different variations of it, so they're all mixed up. And the way Mario Kart 8 has dealt with this is the first lap you do one version, and then the second lap you do another version, and the third lap you do a different version again. And that is so cool. So you don't get the monotony of doing the same lap 3 times. Each of the 3 laps is different. And that, I love the fact they've brought that in. And for people who have played Tour, this is just brilliant because you're getting a hold of courses you already know, but you're not bored with it. It feels like it's new and it's fresh, and you're playing it on completely different controls. It took me a very long time to get back into the Mario Kart 8 controls because it just, they operate in completely different ways. Even sort of the power sliding, it just feels different. The karts turn at different times, they flick out. It's just, it's wildly different. And I'm kind of annoyed the fact that I've got so used to Mario Kart Tour, the fact that you get three weapon slots, you go back to play Mario Kart 8 and there's only two. It's messing with my mind, but I don't mind that. It's just adding in a whole different nuance to playing it, and I'm thrilled. I can't wait for them to release these future packs. It's just annoying we've got to wait for so long for them to come. I also have things I want to see, but I want to see what Anton's thoughts are first before I start telling you what I want them to add in.
Certainly. You know, I've got to say, as somebody who has missed out, or, you know, by choice, taken a pass on Mario Kart Tour, it is delightful to see these courses making their way into a mainline Mario Kart game, especially those Mario Kart Tour courses. They are the highlight of the pack and really take advantage of the Nintendo Switch. Graphically, you know, I kind of look at them and I was like, you know, it adds some visual variety having these. I would have liked them to look a little bit sharper. I think mainly the DS one was the level from Mario Kart 60 DS was the one where I was like, that one's looking a little bit flat. But the N64 one, you know, wasn't quite as good as the N64 remakes in the main Mario Kart game, but still, you know, gameplay, brilliant, flawless, love it. And overall, I'm really happy with the collection, and similarly sad that I'm going to have to wait until at least late 2023 to wrap up all of these new cups.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, I suppose in some ways, it's kind of fun that we do have the excitement of a new Mario Kart for that long, and it's very clever of Nintendo. But what did you want to them to add, Al? Because you said you had some thoughts about what you want them to add.
Well, the weird thing about moving from Tour back to 8 is you suddenly realise that you're lacking a lot of depth that the mobile game has brought, unintentionally. So in the mobile version, you've got different, when you go into a race, you've got three different sort of tiers of kart, driver, and glider that you can pick from. And if you've got the lowest tier driver, you get one weapon slot. If you've got this middle tier driver, you get two weapon slots. If you've got top tier driver, you get three weapon slots. There's other benefits to having a higher tier one as well. But actually, that is a really interesting mechanic, because you then get into thinking, well, which combination do I want? Because I want to use that weapon, but I don't have them in the top tier. I've only got them in the second tier, and you. And that's then tied into the points that you get for, so if you're playing Mario Golf, for example, on the Switch, Super Mario Rush, there you get points for your character, you level up the character, they get better, they get faster, they do all these kinds of things. I would love to see that in Mario Kart 8, because it's in Tour, it's in all the new Switch games you get, but it's a mechanic they've not built into the old Mario, so I'd love to see them pull that into Mario Kart 8. And it just feels a little bit lacking in depth now in comparison to where games have evolved to generally. And okay, I'm comparing it to the mobile version, but as I say, these mechanics are in Mario Tennis, they're in Mario Golf, they're in all the new Mario games on the Switch, and I would love to see them bring that in, that and additional characters, because you've still got the same roster of characters that were there before. Giving us new kart, new courses, can't be very hard to give us some new characters. The models exist because they're in the mobile game. Pull them over, just give us more. Yeah. Why not?
Yeah, I think
so. Yeah, there's things missing, and they wouldn't have been, I wouldn't have noticed them being missing if we hadn't got these new courses.
Yeah. Well, hopefully they will bring more stuff to Mario Kart if they're going to stick with the sort of idea of having Mario Kart 8 Deluxe as the kind of base pack and then expand from there. You never know what could happen. Okay, right, let's move on then to this week's rumours.
Now, I'm not normally one for gossip, but...
Okay, first up in our rumours this week then is Konami. They have re-registered the trademark for Silent Hill. I would come to Al, but he's already too scared to talk, so we'll go to Anton.
Yeah, you know, I would love to see us get a new Silent Hill, especially with the age of them. You know, it'd be great to even just get a collection. Most likely case here, Konami's just probably renewing the IP just for safety and or to make pachinko machines, because they do love making money.
Who do you think you are? Cynical Al? I mean, come on.
I think you'll find
you're probably right.
I think you'll find it's Cynic Al, not Cynical Al, because obviously there's no point in having two Al's.
Yeah, I've got Platinum Games on my site. Everybody knows Konami's greedy.
Yeah, I mean, that is true, to be fair. But, Konami are re-registered. But I think you're right, Anton. I think it's probably just a case of renewing. And it brings us nicely on to the next one, because every time this happens, there's always great excitement. GoldenEye 007 has an IP extension. I mean, I would get really excited about it, but it isn't really telling us very much, Al, is it?
No, it's not. But at the same time, there has been the rumours about getting a re-release up have been ramping up and ramping up and ramping up. And this kind of just ties in with it. Again, it's just a contractual thing. It was due to expire. They're going to renew it. It kind of makes sense. But it just adds... Does it add fuel to the flames? It doesn't really add fuel to the flames. It just puts more of a spotlight on it, if nothing else. We are all desperate to get a GoldenEye remake, and I'm sure we will at some point. And hopefully it makes its way to the Switch and isn't an Xbox exclusive.
Yeah.
Fingers crossed. I still believe.
I actually do think we might get it. I'm not saying that we won't. I think this is not necessarily that significant, but I would like to see it.
Thanks, Anton. When you went, I still believe, I now have Britney Spears in my head. Thanks.
I'm very sorry.
And now everyone listening has Britney Spears in their head. So you're welcome for that.
I just had X-Files and it wasn't even what they said in X-Files. Dateline, we've got a rumored dateline of the Mario Kart 8 Deluxe Booster Pack. Oh my goodness, honestly. Can I cut this bit out? No, I can't. Okay. We've recorded now. So the courses that have been leaked, Sydney Sprint from Tour, LA Laps from Tour, New York Minute from Tour, Koopa Cage from the Wii, Maple Treeway from the Wii, Mario Circuit from the SNES, Vanilla Lake from the SNES, and Rainbow Road from the 3DS all would be great. Anton, I really wish we could get some of the Double Dash ones as well. Like, I know that that's not one we've seen much from, but wouldn't that be nice?
Oh, absolutely. It's you know, there's been so many great Mario Kart courses throughout the years. There hasn't really been many bad ones. So whatever we get is brilliant. But for me especially, I'm excited to see the tour ones. You know, I think the three different routes of them all adds a lot of diversity. You know, doing a different route per lap is very exciting. And they just have a degree of visual spectacle unlike any of the throwbacks. So, Al, are these good courses that we're getting?
Pretty much, yeah. I mean, all of these courses have been in Tour. Tour has just had a veritable smorgasbord of tracks. I think every single one bar the mall, Coconut Mall, that we just got, they've all been in Tour. So they've all had graphical updates. They've all been sort of tried and tested and good to go on newer platforms. So you can see they've been using it as a testbed. All the ones that have been leaked in this... in this announcement, for a better word, they are all really good. I think LA Laps is probably my least favourite, and that's not saying it's bad, it's probably just my least favourite. It's quite nice what they've done with some of the SNES courses. They are looking really, really cool these days. They're very much an homage to the SNES, but modern visuals. They've just been well crafted, and they're good tracks, so it'd be nice to see them all get launched soon.
I'm glad to hear that, because I remember one of my critiques of the original Mario Kart 8 Deluxe was that, you know, especially Rainbow Road, the SNES version, is very much like turning on 90 degree angles. It's very much, you can tell it's a SNES one. So I'm excited to see how they modernize them for the booster pack.
Yeah, it's exciting. It's great. I'm actually really looking forward to playing this week. I will play it and come back with my thoughts on the courses next week, but I'm just disappointed I haven't had the time yet, but there we go, such is life. However, it is now time for the quiz.
I have so many questions.
It is indeed, and to be fair, I've still not gone back. Last week, you, Mike, were adamant that you had 2 points. Has anyone gone back and checked this, or are you still languishing on one?
I'll go with one. It's fine. I'm happy with to go with one.
Well, you never know. You might manage to sort of get another point this week. I mean, we can reinstate your 2 points every win if you want, Mike.
No. I'll stick with 1 point per win. That's maybe where I'm getting confused. I may be using last year's rules.
All right. Well, at the moment, Anton is on 3. So let's see if Mike can close that gap. And our first game this week is a DS RPG. Fire away, chaps.
Dragon Quest IX, the 6 Silver Stars.
Oh my gosh, it isn't. No.
Mario and Luigi Brothers in Time. Whatever that game is called. Mario and Luigi. Come on, give me it.
I would give it, Tom.
So painfully close, I'm tempted to give you the point there.
I can't remember the exact title of it, but it's something like that.
Yeah, I'll give you the point. It's Mario and Luigi Partners in Time.
Oh, come on. That was very close.
It was. I mean, literally, all I gave you was DS RPG. I mean... Okay, well, this is going to be a really short quiz. That's ridiculous. How did you do that?
It's because it's, I think, the only RPG I have on DS. But I still couldn't remember the name exactly, but thank you for being lenient. I appreciate that.
Out of curiosity, when I got to the developed by Alpha Dream, would that have helped? Or is that one of these ones that might have meant something to Anton and not to Mike?
Yeah, that would have clicked on because I remember them going bust.
Yeah.
I'm not sure it would have helped me.
I deliberately pushed that one quite far down the clues, that's what I'm looking for. Why can I not find words today? Gee. Okay, so Mike is on 1 point. Let's see if you can do it again with our second game, which is also a DS game from 2007-2008, depending on which region you're in. That's all I'm going to give you. Just fire games at me.
Yeah, let's do... I'll let you go first, Mike.
Silent Hill.
Let's do Mario Kart DS.
It is not. It was released on mobile phone in Japan in 2008. Very specifically, it was the Panasonic P906i, but it did also launch in on Android and iOS in 2018.
2018 is quite a jump. Was it Broken Sword?
Nope.
Was it Trauma Center?
Nope. It was published by Nintendo.
Was it Dementium?
Nope.
Was it Phoenix Rising? Not Phoenix Rising.
It was not Phoenix Rising. It was developed by Level 5.
Ace Attorney.
No.
Professor Layton. And the Hourglass Boy.
Nope. It was the first in a series.
Professor Layton and... Oh, flippin' heck, what was the first one called? I've got it.
I love it when you guys get this close and so frustrated.
Oh my goodness. I mean, I've completed it twice.
Yeah, you probably have. It's one of the reasons I picked it.
Professor Layton and... I'm never going to remember the name of it.
Anton, you want to chuck one at me?
Professor Layton and the touchscreen riddles.
Good choice. Good guess, but incorrect, my friend.
What is it? Oh, we're getting shouted at right now by people who are listening. It's annoying because if we weren't doing the quiz, I'd probably remember it no problem. I mean, I have two copies of it.
I mean, my next quiz is going to give you away, so you better give me something to guess right now.
Professor Layton and... Journey, something Journey.
Nope. In the game, you are investigating the fictional village of Saint Mystere about an artifact known as the Golden Apple. The fictional village.
The name of it,
maybe
though.
You've not played this one, Mike.
I've definitely played this one.
The fictional village.
I can't remember the name of the village. I can't remember. Stressing me out.
Professor Layton and Vice City.
Nope.
I have all the Professor Layton
games.
That's
the last clue. That's the really obvious clue.
Professor Layton and the Lost Village.
No. You should be ashamed of yourselves. Professor Layton and the Curious Village.
Curious Village, that's the one.
How did you not get that, Mike?
Because I couldn't remember. Yes, I've completed it.
I said village how many times?
I said Lost Village. I just couldn't remember what the word in between was.
Yeah. Okay, well, we have a winner. Mike's won, which is great.
Do we not have a third question?
There is a third one. I'm going to give you the closest to the pin just to see if Anton can make himself feel better, but that means you're Mike, you've got the point. You're now 3-2.
Why do I have the point? I didn't get that one right.
No, you did. What am I doing? That's a good point. Sorry, Anton. I apologise.
I can't believe you would throw me under the bus like
I'm
this.
I'm being wally here.
We have time to get a tie and then make you find another question.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. It's fine. Carry on.
You do, Brad.
I mean, I could have just run with it, but never mind.
Okay, well, trying to think who went first last week. Mike, you can go first.
Sure, I always go first.
Hotel Mario. What year did that come out?
Hotel Mario was 1992.
Anton?
1993.
I hate you guys. You just gave me a tie. It was 1994 on the Philips CDI.
I knew it was the Philips CDI. I just couldn't remember what year it was.
Actually, okay. Quite a good game. People clown on it. It's really good. And it's so much better than the Zelda games of the CDI. I wish Nintendo would re-adopt it as their own.
Okay. Second attempt then, since we're on a tie. What year did Mario Teaches Typing come out?
Go on in, Anton.
Anton, you can go first this time.
1991.
Mike?
92.
One of you is on the money. And that person is Mike. Mike is on the money. 1992. Oh, so I could just have skipped the whole thing and given Mike the point after all.
Yeah, you were just fortune-telling.
That's exactly what it was. Yeah, it was on MS-DOS. Mario Teaches Typing. I love the random games that Mario has appeared in the past. There are so many of them.
Yeah,
that's post-SNES. Impressive.
Yeah, it is. Yeah. It is indeed. But yes, Mike has closed the gap. 3-2. Can he draw a level next week?
You never know. You never know. By the way, there's a new review up, Anton, on our YouTube page.
Oh, is there? I'll let you give that a weekender.
No, I mean, I'm sure there is.
Oh,
Louise
yes!
is.
yes, we have a new review out of Toem. It's done by the wonderful Louise, so do give it a gander. I try and get a review out every week-ish, unofficially, so do check it out. We've got a whole bunch of us doing reviews. We've got a couple people with codes, so keep in touch. New stuff going out regularly.
Yeah, and remember, for everything, head to nsukp.co.uk. We've got all the details there about how you can sign up to the Patreon, how you can become one of our supporters, how you can, go and check out our back catalogue of stuff, a whole bunch of stuff. Al, what else do we need to remind people of?
Well, there's also a contact form in there, which will send me an email, but you could just send an email to podcast@nsukp.co.uk, which is always a nice thing. It's very nice when they appear in my inbox. It makes me a very happy chap. We're also on all the usual social medias. We're on @NSUKpodcast on Twitter. We are on Facebook. And please leave us a review because they are wonderful and they make us smile. Even the ones that don't necessarily give us 5 stars and are kind of a bit abusive, we still like them because they are amusing. But you told us we got trolled this week, did we, Mike? Or was that last week?
No, we just got a 1-star review.
Yeah, trolling. It was a drive-by trolling. It was 1-star with no comment.
Yeah, I mean, if someone's given us a 1-star, that's good. It means we've had enough impact in their life, they felt that they had to come and give us 1-star, so that's fair enough.
We made it! Hurrah! Did that not make you really angry? I mean, I remember you got really angry when we got like a, I don't know, like it was a 3-star.
Nah.
You were decidedly upset by that.
I was upset because I didn't feel we should have lost 2 points because the reviewer didn't like you. I thought surely that's only worth 1 point, but we, you know, 4 stars would have been
really,
more.
Really didn't like me.
Yeah, but I think that's just, you know, it was, I did say to your mom not to leave a review, but there she was, you know, she just had to leave a review. So we don't mind. And if you can leave us a review, it does help us out. We really appreciate it. And we appreciate all the support that we continue to get as well. Anton, anything that we need to add before we finish up? Are we good?
I guess finally, nsukp.co.uk/support-us. It's a Patreon. We do tons of stuff. We do Discord. We do shout outs. We do friend codes. We do live stuff. We do last call. We do the prequel roundup, expansion chat, and an upcoming mug club. So tons of stuff over there. You can see how it breaks down into 3 simple tiers. And yeah, that's all I've got to add.
Yeah, that is it for another episode. We'll see you soon. Goodbye.
Cheerio.
Or bye.